The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
One of the important duties of the Imams is to yahduna bi amrina, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. We have appointed them as Imams so that they may guide the people according to our command. And we see that, you know, when it comes to the issue of, you know, educating the people about the faith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the Imams have done what was possible within their, you know, circumstances. But among our Imams, you know, when we talk about this issue, we see that the sixth Imam got the best opportunity to fulfill that task. And this is where we see that the opportunity came to the sixth Imam because of the struggle between the weak Umayyad power. This was the beginning of their downfall, and the gradually emerging Abbasid power. So you have the Umayyads on one side who are becoming weak and weak and weak, and the Banu Abbas are now, you know, gaining the momentum to start their revolution against Banu Umayyah. And when, you know, when the two enemies fight, then you have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have time for you. And this is where we see that Imam was, in a way, left alone. No more, you know, surveillance, no more informers or pressure or restrictions in people meeting him and him also meeting the people. And that's why you will see that in the collection of ahadith that we have in the Shia sources, the largest number of ahadith which have come to us are from the sixth Imam. And that is why you see, you know, whether it's in theology or jurisprudence or akhlaq, ethics and morality on any issue. And therefore you'll see that we are known to be the Ja'fari, Shia who are Ja'fari. You know, recognizing that impact of the Imams, you know, teaching for the community. And even in the ahadith, the largest number of ahadith comes from him, not from any other Imam. But if you look at that same, you know, opportunity that sixth Imam got, and if you look at the number of ahadith, the second Imam whose ahadith are more than others, other than sixth Imam, is Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, Sheikh Saduq, you know, who is an expert in hadith during the days of Ghaybat Sughra, and part of his compilation of ahadith on different issues, he has a special book just dealing with the ahadith that he compiled from the eighth Imam. And it's known as Uyunu Akhbar al-Ridha. It is in two volumes. There is an English translation, although it's not a very good one, but it's still okay, it's at least there. But that shows that, you know, the number of ahadith which came to us after Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, the highest number is Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. And why did it happen? How did he have that opportunity? It was a very similar situation. Because Harun was a very brutal, you know, Abbasid Khalifa. Imam Musa Kazim was poisoned during his time. But then when he died, his two sons, Amin and Ma'mun, and there was a dispute between these two brothers. And because of this infighting within the Abbasid family, You see that the early days of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha was kind of peaceful. In a sense, there was not so much pressure, restrictions on him. And this is where he has kind of more freedom to actually educate the people, interact with them. I'll just give you two examples here. One is in Medina. For example, we have Waqidi, a Sunni historian. He actually says that, talking about the eighth Imam, he says he used to sit down in Masjid al-Nabi in Medina, publicly, so it's not even just his home. He used to sit down in Masjid al-Nabi publicly and give fatwas while he was in his early teens. Still very young, but giving fatwas sitting in Masjid al-Nabi. It means the environment was okay. You know, there was no restrictions at that time. And another Sunni scholar by the name of Al-Wahhabi, he actually says that he, about our eighth Imam, he said he used to give fatwa while he was young during the days of Malik. This is Imam Malik, the founder of the Maliki school of thought. And Malik, you know, he was a resident of Medina itself. But this is where we see that, you know, Imam, at least the early part of the Imamat of the eighth Imam was kind of more relaxed, and he had freedom to, you know, meet his own followers and even others to impart the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him. Not only Medina, actually we have two incidents where, and this is before his famous journey, before his shahadat, when he was called by Mamun al-Rashid to go to Marv, passing by through southern Iran, going to Nishapur, and then ending up in Marv. This is before it, that Imam actually went to Kufa and Basra to go and meet his followers. The narration that we have about Kufa, he stayed at the house of Hassan bin Ali al-Alawi, where not only the Shias would come and see him and meet him. The gatherings in the house of al-Hassan bin Muhammad al-Alawi was an open invitation. People were invited from all different groups, not only the Shias, but even the others. Even the other, you know, people from other madhahib and adyan would come. There was one fellow, he said that your followers say, well, before that, you know, Imam, in one of the gatherings, he says to them, "Inni innama jama'atukum litas'aluni amma shi'tum من آثار النبوة وعلامات الإمامة التي لا تجدونها إلا عندنا أهل البيت." He says, I have invited you together here so that you may ask me about the teachings of the Prophet and the signs of the Imams that you will not find anywhere except from the Ahlul Bayt, from us. So there he says, you know, فَحَلَمُّ مَسَائِلُكُمْ. So, you know, start, you know, asking questions. People would come, you know, and ask the questions, and he would respond to them. There was one person by the name of Amr bin al-Haddab, and he says that your followers, the Shias, they say many different things about you, that you are this, you are that, you know about your knowledge. And one of the things that they say is that you can talk to anyone in their language. Of course, most of the people around were all Arabs, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ability to a Nabi or an Imam that when they communicate with the people, they will be able to communicate in that language. You know, if we can be multilingual and know so many languages just by studying and practicing, there's no surprise if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to bless those chosen ones with that ability. So it shouldn't be an issue of, you know, a surprise there. And so this person was saying that I have purposely today brought with me one person from Byzantine, one Indian fellow, one Persian fellow, and one Turkish fellow. And I have asked them to ask you questions in their language, and I want to see whether you can respond in their language or not. And Imam alayhi salam said, Bismillah. So he talks to these four different people in their own language and responds to their questions.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen. محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.